Good morning, honorable members. Can we start with our meeting? We have three items on the agenda. It's the adoption of the minutes of the previous meetings, the briefing by the Department of Transport on the accessibility of air transport by the poor, and the presentation by Standby Travel Ltd. We will start with the with item number one. We are going to deal with three sets of meetings of minutes. The first set is the minutes of the meeting that was held on the 17th of April. The second set is the minutes of proceedings of the meeting that set on the 18th of April. And the third set of minutes is the minutes of the proceedings of Thursday, the 19th of April. We will start with the minutes of the 17th. We are on page 1, page 2, page 3, and page 4. Honorable Suga, followed by Honorable Sabot.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I move formally that the minutes of the 17th of April be adopted.
Thank you. Honorable Bagoto.
Seconded, Chairperson. Thanks.
The minutes of the 17th of April have been adopted by the Portfolio Committee. Thank you very much. So on the second set of minutes, 18th of April, on page 1, page 2, page 3, and page 4. Honorable Bagoto.
Thanks, Chairperson. I move that the ministry adopted. Thanks.
Thank you. Honorable Ndelo. The minutes of the proceedings of the 18th of April have been adopted by the Portfolio Committee on Transport. Thank you. We are now on the third set of minutes. We are on page 1, page 2, page 3, and page 4. Honorable Masipa.
Thank you, Chairperson. I adopt the minutes as the true reflection. Thank you.
Thank you. There is a move for adoption. Any second? Honorable Kiyabute.
I second, Chairperson. Thanks.
Thank you. The minutes of the meeting that set on the 19th have been adopted by the Portfolio Committee on Transport. Thank you. Can we move to the second item? The second item is the briefing by the Department of Transport on the accessibility of air transport. I am going to give a background to this as to why we are looking at this matter. We have four modes of transport in South Africa. And we come from a background where certain modes of transport were a preserve of the rich, not accessible to the poor. And air travel is one of them. when you go to other countries, you would find that passengers in an airline flight sort of reflect the demographics of the country. If you go to a country that is has got a majority of the people being black, you'll find that the passengers in the airline are majority black. If you go to a country that has got the majority of the population being white, you'll find that the majority of passengers are also white. So when you begin to see a situation where passengers do not reflect the demographics of the country, it indicates that there is a problem. And when it comes to South Africa, we know for the fact why we have that situation. That when you are traveling by air, you don't find 87% of people in a flight being black, reflecting the real demographics of the country that we have. 87% black people in this country. So the government has identified three challenges in this country. It's poverty, it's inequalities, and it's unemployment. Even the employment of black people in the national carrier now was affected by the present government. Before 1994, there was no black captain on the South African Airways. My first daughter, Pindile, was one of the first black crew members who were recruited by the South African Airways. And they were recruited having not been trained. They were actually babysitted by Captain Mamashil. They didn't even know that there is a difference between red wine and white wine. That is the pain they had to go through. Because South African Airways was forced by Parliament to actually employ black people who had not been trained to undertake that kind of a job. Now, we are 18 years in democracy. Even today, the majority of the passengers in all airlines, whether it's low-cost airline or it's the national carrier, the majority of the people, passengers, do not reflect the demographics of this country. And that is one reason we have put this this. I must declare upfront that that daughter of mine who worked for the South African Airways, he's a shareholder in Standby. But the matter that we are discussing today, we are not discussing Standby to approve anything that Standby does. We are going to listen to Standby in terms of the model. What model have they put in place to make air travel accessible to the poor? I had also invited Velvet. They didn't honor the invitation. I think they're still dealing with their problems, because I also have met with Velvet's guys to try and understand why most of the cheaper airlines or people that enter the aviation do not sustain. They have put their side of the story, and I think that this committee has to listen to what they are saying. So, the second issue that we are also dealing with here is that if we look at the report, 2003, Public Transport National Survey, National Household Survey on Public Transport. There is one issue that is being raised in that report, that our transport system is not integrated, meaning that if you are using a taxi, there is no connection between the airport and the taxi transport that transports people. So people that are using public transport are then forced to use meter taxis, not the usual taxi. That would either, even if you look at one of the airports in South Africa that is very, very close to a township, is the old Durban Airport, very close to Umlaas. But there is no, the taxi route from Umlaas doesn't go through to the airport. A person who is in a taxi from Umlaas, whether a highway, anqamulenge now, aye airport. Even the person who is working at the airport, uhamba ngeenyawo agibele ku freeway then a hike. There is no connection. Worse now that the airport is in King Shark. Again, the nearest township to King Shark would be Kwamashu, Nomdlodi, Esteng. But there is no connection at a taxi route. When the taxi route is designed, it takes people to a land. There isn't even a marking for airport. A value is good for taxis. Again, there is no railway line that connects abantu abahlala eMlazi to the airport. Even abantu who would come now to the Durban station, there is no line that connects those people who travel on a train and arrive at the Durban station. There is no railway line that links the Durban station to the King Chaga Airport. That is one issue. But now, when you then look at those who use ama cheaper airlines, so this is the observation I'm making. When you look at where do cheaper airlines park at the airport, most of them furthest to the terminal, furthest, meaning Ubuti. When you are conscious of time, you are going to a meeting, you even have to budget for the time now, Ubuti. When a flight that you are in will land far away, let's say Ukibela demands a bus to a terminal. I'm not talking about cost here. I'm still on the time. How much time? Because in that report here, survey, there is an issue of time. Too much time spent on traveling from point A to the last point. So the first issue in terms of time is that you have to interchange the mode of transport, and it takes longer. And you are interchanging the mode of transport that is not scheduled. So the taxi won't leave the taxi rank until it is full. But also, even when you have now been traveling on a cheaper airline, when you sit now, when you land the airport, you land far away from the terminal. I'm still talking about time. Then that report also talks about the cost of travel. If you then take into consideration the issue of interchanging the mode of transport, even if the ticket of traveling low cost carrier, you don't feel it because uqale uhamba nge taxi engekho scheduled, and if you have to address the issue of time, you are then forced to use a meter taxi, which sometimes costs the same amount le yellow cause obukengayo the airline. So you don't feel that cost, that the reduced cost. Now then, in terms of the department, in our view, we think that report is a point of departure for all the four different modes in the department now. How do we, as people in the department responsible for aviation, responsible for road, responsible for maritime, and responsible for rail, respond to that report in an integrated fashion? how do we as a department respond to that report in an integrated fashion? How does our strategy as people that are responsible for aviation in the department, how does our strategy speak to the integration of these four modes of transport? But also, how does our strategy in the department as people responsible for aviation speak to reducing the time of traveling? Asikakhulumi ngomuntu ophuwa, sisakhuluma ngepassenger nje. How do we as a department and a program responsible for aviation respond? How does our strategy respond to reducing the cost of traveling? And how, as a department, include in the strategy of the department the issue of accessibility of air travel by the poor, so that we then begin to see the true demographics of the country in an airline? That's what we need to talk about. So we will then start with the briefing by the department. We had asked our researcher to do some research work. It's a very hard assignment. He will be highlighting some of the issues that he has come across in relation to this. But at the end of the day, we want to have an understanding as to whether there is a strategy in the department that speaks to that report, and if there is a strategy, from our side we are going to look at how relevant that strategy is to the experiences that we come across in our constituencies, what people say. But lastly, also, we cannot ignore the fact that in South Africa we have underutilized facilities. In 2005, I left Parliament, and in 2006, I became a deputy mayor in one of the presidential poverty nodal point municipalities. It's Ugu District Municipality. There is an airport, a market airport, underutilized. It's the nearest airport to Sisonke District Municipality. It's also the nearest airport to some part of O.R. Tambo District Municipality. And it is located in Ugu District Municipality. I'm now talking three of the presidential poverty nodal points. It's Sisonke, it's OR, and it's Ugu. Now, if you look at the accidents now, fatal accidents, and you do that analysis, you would come across a situation where mine workers who come from those areas have been the victims of fatal accidents due to the fact that during festive season and Easter periods when they are going back home, they are forced to use minibuses. And the minibuses overload. A combi that was traveling from Rustenburg, it's a 16-seater. It got involved in an accident. It was carrying 35 people. Again, on the same route, a truck was carrying workers involved between Port Edward and Dundwin. Many people died. Now, any person who is in local government in Sisonke or OR Tambo or Ugu District Municipality is forced to drive to King Shark. Senkuluma Majin Ama government officials and people. I'm not talking Anga Kuluminge business sector. And if then transport is what we define it, we understand it in the manner that we are defining that transport is the heartbeat for social and economic development. And we want to attract investment in Ugu, want to attract investment in OR, and we want to attract investment in Sisonke. Surely, supposed to look at how strategic the market airport is in unlocking the potential, the investment in those areas. I'm talking about this because I was responsible for planning. And in the strategic plan of Ugu, which was consulted between Sisonke District Municipality and OR Tambo District Municipality, the issue of Margate Airport comes out sharply. So, this meeting then is about those things to say. What is our strategy and how does it speak to the real issues on the ground and also the potential of the country if we were to position or aviation correctly and begin to speak to the report. Okay. Thank you. I will then ask you to introduce your delegation and explain who is responsible for what in the department, and then we take it from there.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Vuani Ndwamato. I'm the director of air transport. All I do is actually obviously being responsible for the licensing of operations and obviously negotiations of even the bilateral license agreements between South Africa and any foreign government. And obviously oversee even the operation of non-scheduled operations into the country and obviously out of the country. I will introduce my delegation, starting from my immediate left, is Mr. Andres Nchana. He's the Deputy Director, Licensing and Permits. That is still under air transport. And next to him there is Mr. Dibagwane, is the parliamentary officer. And then next to him is Tsepiso Tipe. She's the director responsible for public entity oversight, particularly aviation. And next to her is Podisho Kanyaho. She's the deputy director for airports and airspace. On that note, thank you, Chair. I would wish to also tender an apology for the acting DDG, Mr. Tsepo Pere, for not making it to this meeting. He had been tasked by the minister to stand in for the minister for this summit on International Civil Aviation Organization and the International Air Transport Association in Sandton. It's a safety summit that he should actually go and actually make a keynote for on behalf of the minister. So he had actually delegated me to come and do this presentation. I also wish to indicate to the portfolio committee that I had lost one member. She has just been hospitalized earlier this morning. She is actually the lady responsible for industry development. She's an assistant director in the department. I think she fell sick, but we'll be seeing her later after this meeting. Thank you. I would, as much as possible, Chairperson, try to speak to all your queries regarding air transport accessibility to the poor and obviously to the general passengers as a whole. I've tried about, I think it's about 9 if not 10 slides that I'll try to illustrate what really is happening. You would understand obviously that from a policy point of view, the Department of Transport really is a principal enabler and obviously the regulator of this industry. And we have, as a department since early 90s, deregulated the domestic market. Reason being that you would recall prior to the 90s, for one to be able to do operations in the country, there was quite a lot of barriers that actually stood for one to be able to do introduce services. There should be establishment of frequencies, there should be, we were actually like based on a very stifling kind of a processes. By deregulating, then we allowed just anybody else who actually is financially fit and able to provide safe and reliable service. That's what we look at for one to be actually licensed to do operations in this country. Any other person who wishes to do operations can actually enter the market easily. Let's go there. Obviously, that was actually done with an interest of purposes of actually making sure that the transport, the air transport is actually available, is accessible, there is mobility amongst all South Africans by doing that. In the process of regulation, we had to obviously promote competition, and a competition that we had actually to bring about lowering actually airfares improving on service standards and service quality. That then obviously brought about the emergence of the low-cost carriers. For example, our One Time, our Kulula, our Mango, and then to be the Santaco airline. We had then obviously, as the process unfolded and our domestic market getting saturated on competition, then started developing what we call the airlift strategy, which is actually meant particularly to support the national economic growth and promote market access. The strategy was adopted in 2006 by Cabinet, with the intent of actually trying to ensure that we also align our regional initiatives as well to our own national policy. I would indicate, for example, the one of the key issues that the early strategy takes into account is the issue of actually adopting the regional policy on the so-called the Yamoussoukro decision. The Yamoussoukro decision is a broader continental policy, which is almost 22 years old. And we as a country, South Africa, we had actually taken a stance to adopt that policy. It's a multilateral agreement, but we have adopted the policy on a bilateral system, meaning that with the willing partners who are willing to open up the skies in the continent, we are actually willing to engage and actually liberalize the air services to have more market access even on the region, sub-region, and even the continent. Services are actually introduced, obviously, on the basis of equity of opportunities, and access to international markets are managed currently through the bilateral system, and trying as much as possible to ensure stable and predictable provision of aviation services. We have also, the strategy also further tries to provide an investment-friendly sector to increase access to air transport markets, enabling an attractive transport environment for tourism and trade, and increase African connectivity and access to development as well as reduction to transport costs. In fact, it encourages much more competition and much more access in order to be able to get quality service at a lower cost. As you would recall, South Africa is actually signatory to the Abuja Treaty for the liberalization of air services within the continent. That's the Yamoussoukro decision I was talking about. Heads of states and even ministers of transports within our various countries have actually endorsed that policy to be adopted and be implemented continentally wide. Chairperson, you would understand I'm trying to broaden up your scope out of the continent just to see how this cascades back to home. We are currently also doing the review of national aviation policy to incorporate provisions of these principles of liberalization. And also the ELIF strategy is taking care of actually increasing capacity both in the country and out of the country ahead of demand to enhance obviously market access and competition, as I will emphasize the two. Because I think, as you understand, air transport is actually services transport as well, which is actually demand driven. There is also emergence of commercial corporations amongst our local and even our regional operators. I'll give, for example, the South African Express, Air Link, and Swazi Link. The South African Express and Congo Express, you know, these kind of linkages are trying to happen in obviously in the name of trying to enhance quality of service and also accessibility. Startup airlines are starting as well regionally. We already have Zambezi Airlines, Korongo, Fly Kumba. Zambezi is Zambian, Korongo is the DRC, and Fly Kumba, Zimbabwe. There's obviously an increase, in particular within SADC regions, you know, increased connectivity and accessibility through low-cost model. One times they fly all over. Other regions, Kulula, they fly all over within the region as well. Having said that, Chairperson, in an effort to respond to the National Travel Survey, the Department of Transport has obviously generally gone into a total overhaul of the national or development of the national transport master plan, which actually integrates all model split into one in terms of future planning of the department. I would not actually venture into that in broad terms, but I'll try to reduce it to specific subsector initiative, which is actually coming up from the network. Within the civil aviation, the department has is in a process actually of developing the National Airport Development Plan to ensure that there's an integrated development of air transport and airports with obviously other modes of transport. The plan is actually not really, it's still in its infant stage. It's still actually being brainstormed and workshopped by industry stakeholders. On the particular format, it will actually inform and focus on development of suitable airport developments to meet the needs of users countrywide. It also encompasses the initiatives of the nodals and even the development of the and the IGZs, and also considering the designation of international airports, which focus on demand and to ensure economic viability of any airport being developed in the future. The plan is still, as I said, on a consultative stage, and it is still being workshopped. We actually anticipate that, obviously, towards late in the year, we would be obviously having a good blueprint of how this this whole plan would actually function in actually designing future plannings and developments of airport and actually industrial development zones to attract that demand in order, obviously, to attract such services like air transport and ensure that there is accessibility of all modal transport to also enhance not only competition within air transport alone, but obviously competition on modal split. So furthermore, other issues pertaining to the how we wish or working towards the department to transform the industry. The department has as well identified an urgent need to, for compliance with the BBBEE within the aviation industry for alignment purposes with the transport charter. You would know that we have already got a transport charter on this, or civil aviation transport charter as well. Main purpose obviously is to address the shortage of technical skills, pilots, air traffic controllers, and engineers, to mention just about a few. We have transformational programs like the Women in Aviation programs that are also some of the initiatives. And we also have the Joint Aviation Awareness programs, which is actually an initiative. I was happy.
You're speaking to the lost page. That page is missing. Okay.
These are just some transformational programs, and as I said, there is a woman in aviation programs to ensure that we have more women in aviation. As you would know, like the chairperson perfectly articulated it, that this industry has in the past obviously been obviously white male dominated kind of an industry, and some few African faces have also come in the past few years, like you had said it with regard to Captain Mamashela, who also had become one of our key person in actually this other program, what we call the Joint Aviation Awareness Program. This is actually meant for school leavers, obviously from grade, we prioritize from grade 8 up to grade 12, for them to actually take particular interest in this field. It's a leaving program that is actually meant to outreach schools in all provinces. Each and every year we have an international event in which we do exhibitions. It's a joint program which is actually members who are actually the Airports Company South Africa, the Air Traffic and Navigation Services Company, the South African Air Force, the South African Air Wing, South African Police Air Wing, the Department of Transport, South African Civil Aviation Authority. We have developed this program to have that outreach and attract interest for skilled laborers to actually take interest into this. We already have a number of students who had actually gone into these programs. You would understand we also provide bursary schemes for this, because obviously the training for anything being a pilot or just a PPL, it's actually costly and not really affordable, but we make it as a department has got actually schemes which is actually contributed by all parties in order to support this. You would know that the SIA has got the cadet training as well program. The HNS has got a training academy as well. So this is actually meant really to make sure that the only way we could actually transform the industry would be when people are getting skilled and being able to enter the market and actually be able to operate within that. We also have a child, take a child or girl to work campaign, which is actually done every October month, which is the transport month. These are some of the initiatives. We also drive, like I said, trade awareness from grade 10, 12 learners to rural areas in 9 provinces. We expose 3 exposures of air shows every year. Career pathing and care skills identification. We have actually really done so far, I think we have already moved in more than 6 provinces on these campaigns. And that is actually making significant improvements in actually attracting that interest to make sure that actually the new entry into the services of air transport. This slide just only speaks to particularly some of the milestones we are actually trying to achieve in terms of the trainings that are happening countrywide. On pilot for aeroplane, helicopters, commercial pilots, helicopter, airline transport pilot, pilot aeroplane, airline transport pilot, helicopter, maintenance engineers, flight engineers. You would really realize that there is really still that steep, I will agree with the chairperson that there's still non-representativity of the demographics of the country in terms of representation even in these skills. You would note that we have indicated non-SA, because these trainings not only happen within the country, but it also attracts even outside people. Some, most of them being actually Africans from our neighboring states, up to the DRC, up to Uganda and on, they also take these trainings from our academies. Thank you, Chair, and I would wish to take up or maybe be able to respond to any specific issues on any issues that pertain to that. Chair, if I may, I heard you raising issues relating to, obviously, reflection of demographics. I think that one we're trying to tackle it through the programs that we have in terms of transforming the industry through training and development of skills for various areas within the air transport. We are also enhancing that, obviously, through the BEE, which is actually become the, it has become now the requirement to evaluate everyone's status in application for licenses and for anything. In particular, all government agencies are actually, it is compulsory for them to comply. In order to ensure that we see that we're moving towards implementation of the policy. Integrated transport system, really we are actually tackling it or trying to take care of that through the national airport development plans, obviously in liaison with the DTI in terms of the development of the IDZs, and obviously the presidential pilot projects in terms of the nodal areas that needs to be recognized. So that would obviously be encompassed in terms of the NADP, in terms of how we're going to actually tackle that going forward. As I said, air transport is services industry as well. It is actually demand driven, and if that demand is being established within particular nodes, obviously such services would obviously be able to be established at any particular given area. I'll give some simple examples that we have already done in terms of, if you understand the development of the IDZ at Mafikeng as well, which is actually particularly cargo confined kind of an IDZ. You would also take into account the issue of the KMI, which is actually the Nelspruit one, which is actually a pure tourist kind of a demand established that is actually attracting services into that airport. So you would also take into account as well the issues of Pilanes Lake, passenger specific for the attraction of obviously the leisure and tourists in that area for hunting and so on. So this is actually some particular initiatives that the department is actually taking out into cognizance. And relating to the how do we reduce the cost, time and accessibility. Chairperson, I would say yes, our infrastructure currently, we have added the reason why we had come up with the NADP has been to respond to such particular inadequacies that we see from our infrastructure development. That really our infrastructure development plans do not cater for such services that we require within the industry. Yes, we're building 5-stars, 6-stars airports. We have done so with the Cape Town, with the Durban, Kinshasa, with OR Tambo, but we also still need to provide for no-frills kind of operations. Low costs obviously require obviously their specific terminals that requires them to meet the class and standard of the services which they provide. Being an OR Tambo or in Cape Town, obviously you would find them being paid furthest, probably because of the amount you pay to get such a parking, because your parking obviously might colour cost might not be the same as the traditional frilled operators like our SAAs and whatever. They become the biggest cash cows for the airport. So such kind of classification, I think those are some of the issues that the NADP would have to take into account going further. We also would want to attract my mom on the street to be able as well to sell bananas for no frills. Why not sell bananas in such terminals? Those are some of the initiatives that are being thought in terms of the NADP being going to actually enhance and ensure even accessibility in terms of the taxes that you have been raising. Obviously, you would have to choose the kind of service you would want. If you are a frilled kind of a flyer who flies SAA, where you can afford to pay 2,000 to Cape Town, you would obviously take the particular expensive services out of choice. But we would not want to see ourselves as the department still promoting a situation wherein we don't actually provide plans to enhance and actually try to make it easy for other type of flyers or public users of facilities to access services or being coerced to access services at a very costly and time-consuming kind of an exercise. I have tried to purport what I thought I would be trying to think towards your thinking.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. Firstly, I would like to thank the department for the presentation. I just want to start with this interesting slide, the pilot licensing statistics. Chairperson, I just want to know from the department, why do we have such a huge gap between African males, like they put it here, African males and white males, African females and white females. Why am I asking this? Is that up to so far, Chairperson, it's been 18 years now. It seems as if I heard the presenter correctly. He mentioned that it is too expensive to train pilots, if I heard you correctly. But my question is, why do we have such a huge gap? For example, commercial pilots, aeroplane, we have 64 females. But when it comes to the white male, it's 2010. For the African female, it's 14. White female is 170. I'm not trying to politicize this thing. Make me understand, why do we have black people so, or maybe let me put it like this. We have more blacks as crew members or as a hostess. Then it seems to me here it is too expensive to train black people to be pilots, if I may put it like that. Why, Chairperson? Because most of our learners, especially in the rural areas, they have no resources, nothing, but they are doing well in math and science, if I may say so. I know few schools in the rural areas where there are no laboratories at all, but they are doing well in math. I don't mean math literacy, in math. So I just want to know, why do we have this huge gap? Then my other concern, Chairperson, is with the program for career guidance at schools. I think there is a need for the department to go to rural areas in all the provinces which have to all these rural provinces, Chairperson, to actually assist those learners, those poor learners who want to be like Captain Mpoma Mashile, because from my understanding, he was from a poor background. So we have such learners who want to know about this thing. And if I may, if you allow me, Chairperson, I might also add that somewhere we expressed ourselves like saying that we want career guidance back at our schools. So I think this is the duty for the department to go to all schools in each and every corner of South Africa to go and make this thing happen. Then, when it comes to airlines, the airlines that we are having, especially in rural provinces like where I come from, Mpumalanga, then we have SAA here from Cape Town to Joburg, then Joburg to Mpumalanga, it's a link. There's no competition. They do as they wish. When you are late, you try to call them, oh, check me in just because I'm few kilometers away from the airport. They'll tell you whatever they want to tell you. But when their airline is delayed, they don't have that courtesy to tell you that your airline is late or to treat you like human beings. So why don't we have this competition? British Airways tried to have a route in Mpumalanga, but that didn't last. Why is that? I'm into this Chairperson, proudly South African thing. But somewhere, somehow, we are not treated as equals. Then my last question, Chairperson, why don't these airlines have a link? Like I was once delayed, my flight was delayed from Cape Town, and I was going to connect with the 5:30 flight in Joburg to Nelspruit. But I was forced to sleep in a hotel because there was no that, in my understanding, there was no communication that this passenger is into this flight, so he or she is going to connect to the other airline.
So this one was delayed by 2 hours here in Cape Town, and I missed my flight. Why is that? Why can't they have that link? Because when you do your booking, it must link FAA and Air Link. That link must be there so that they will know that our passenger is on this flight and this flight is delayed. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Ngele.
Thank you, Chair. With the pilot licensing, I'm partly covered by my colleague, but mine was not white and black or black and white. It was black against black. It was black African males against African females. Still, there's a huge gap. I was going to say, is it because maybe you don't get enough applications from the female side? I don't, but the gap is too big, 52 and 15. At least if it was 50 and 30, I would understand. But this one is too much. Then I would love to know why. And we have just said, presenter, you have a choice of which flight to use. What if you don't have a choice? What if you have SA Link only? You don't have Kulula, you don't have Mango. And exactly what Comrade Lakute is saying, you take this A Link, which is one a day. If you lose, if you miss it, you are doomed. Say you are from Cape Town to Joburg and Joburg Mutata. Cape Town delays. And by the time you arrive in Johannesburg, the flight has left already. What happens? You have just a ticket. Cape Town, Joburg, Joburg Mutata. If you go to L-Link, L-Link will say, no, it's not our problem, it's SAA. I would like to know the relationship between SAA and SA Link. You travel from Joburg Mutata, and while you are about to land, it is misty or it is raining hard, the flight cannot land. Shoot straight to East London. Arriving in East London, it's too soon. You are going to Mutata. Arriving in East London, you see to yourself. Because if you go to SAA, SAA will refer you to SA Link. SA Link will say, go back. You see, like stupid, sort of. And you have spent your money. Then I would like to know what happens in that case. And also, who decides, you see, we are in a learning session here. Who decides which flight goes there? And the other one goes there. Because we have this one flight. Why can't Mango or whatever, the cheap ones, I'm in a rural area, a rural airport, which at least a lot of people would like to fly if it was a bit cheaper. Times we land up in East London and see your way through to Mutata. But before, so I've been using these things. If a flight doesn't land in Mutata, we were given kumbis in Mutata to drive ourselves to East London. All of a sudden, it's not their responsibility now. It's somebody else's responsibility. And I had a problem when my two minor grandchildren were in a flight and it went straight to East London. Who cares for that? I couldn't sleep that day. They had to come back to Johannesburg. And then from Johannesburg, back to Mutata, if the weather allows. This is just that thing. And, where do you make the air shows? Yeah. You said something about the air shows. Where do you do these air shows? In certain provinces, certain airports maybe? Because there's a problem in rural areas. We don't know these things. We don't even hear about them. They just happen in urban airports. Thank you.
Honorable Oli.
Thank you, Chairperson. Gosh, I don't know where to start. This presentation lacks a lot of details. It's very, very, general, and I think some more detail would have been appropriate for this committee. I agree with you in terms of liberalizing the local market, and I don't always agree with my colleagues on this committee. I think that when you open the market will decide. You know, the airlines compete with each other, and so you can't put an airline to every little town because it's not economically viable. I think Santaco is beginning to realize that there are economic realities in that, and so I think some of those questions really are just not in the right place. But I don't agree with you on your international policy, particularly with Africa, and I don't think you're entirely being honest with us about what you said here. For example, from page 4 onwards, you made some statements which I don't think are completely true. Yes, we've signed this treaty on liberalization, but where is the implementation? You made two sweeping statements that I think are really not true. You spoke about one time flying all over, Kulula flying all over. Well, you know what? We've actually spoken to these airlines. They battle to get slots. I spoke 3 years ago to one time. And they, at that point, could not get a single slot in Africa outside of South Africa. But you're saying to us, this committee, they're flying all over. Well, where? Tell me. Where are they flying? Where are they landing? Where are they getting slots? They got their first slot in Zanzibar. One in the whole of Africa. Huh? One. I don't think you're telling us the truth. Where else are they flying? And why are they not flying to the other places? Because they've got the financial ability to do it. It's because they can't get slots. And the reason they can't get slots is because our national carrier, SAA, and their sidekick, SAA Express, are squeezing other airlines in Africa out of slots. And there's a good reason for that. The reason for that is that that's where they make all their money. Because they're not making money on their international routes. They're not making that much money on their local domestic routes because of the competition. So they've got to make their money to keep afloat in Africa. So African people, or people flying into and out of Africa, are paying way too much money for their flight tickets. And they're paying that money because you are not making suitable arrangements to give them additional slots for low-cost airlines. They're battling to get the slots, and if it's not your department's problem, then tell us whose problem it is. Tell us why SAA gets slots all over Africa and other airlines battle to get slots. The same thing with Kulula. Can you give me a list of the places that Kulula is flying to? Where in Africa? Where are all these many places all over? Your statement was they're flying all over. Can I please have a list of those? Because I find that very odd to believe. People in Africa are paying too much for their flights. Those airlines that are low cost and that are not national carriers are battling to get slots. The liberalization of flight over Africa is just not there. We signed a document, but it's not being implemented. It may be that the other countries, the receiving countries, are not opening up slots, or it may be that our national carrier is squeezing out those other companies. But quite honestly, that's what you said. I just don't accept, I'm afraid. Air Link, if I'm not mistaken, is a private airline. It's not linked to SAA and SAA Express. Just clarify if I'm wrong, but I understand it's private. They are the one that seems to be able to get slots elsewhere. And I don't know whether that's because there's a special deal with Airlink or what, but they seem to be able to get slots, you know, all over the show. Then in terms of you talked about the need for international airport designation. Can you tell this committee where is the application for Rand Airport? Now, why has it disappeared into the system? Why is it taking so long? Rand Airport has applied for international designation because small and light planes cannot get slots at OR Tambo because there just are no slots available. OR Tambo cannot accommodate the small micro stuff. Rand Airport has applied to be able to deal with those small planes, light aircraft, and small cargo because they can fly directly from Rand Airport into Africa. But at the moment, they're not able to do that. They've got to fly to Lanseria, check in at Lanseria, clear customs at Lanseria, get back on the plane, and then fly to another country. Lanseria is the only other place that there is an international facility. And I really don't understand why we can't license Rand Airport to take the load off, quite honestly, because now the planes have to, as I said, leave Rand Airport, fly to Lanseria, clear customs, and go. It's a double hop. It leads to higher costs. And if you license Rand Airport with an international license, what you would do is you would open up the economy of the East Rand. The East Rand is suffering. Places like Germiston, people don't have jobs. And if you were able to airlift out of Rand Airport with small planes, you could create jobs on the East Rand, which are not there. So please give us some feedback on Rand Airport. Then when it comes to I'll deal with Santaka and those other when we do the standby travel one. But in terms of your licensing statistics, you've given us the racial demographics. Thank you. I appreciate that. Honesty is always very helpful. We can deal with it when it's like that. And I see there's a lot of noughts on this page and low numbers in some cases. Can you tell me, just so that this committee can appreciate where we stand, do you have very few black candidates applying? Or is it that the black candidates that are applying are struggling to get through the course because perhaps rural education is deficient? Or is it a money problem? They can't afford to be trained? So how many? Can you tell me, like, only 5 applied in the last year, or 1,000 applied in the last year, but we can't fund them, or where is the blockage? I need some detail, because this is, this report is very, you know, generalizes a lot, and we need actual detail, figures, please.
Honorable Krompa.
It's easier over time, Chair. I want to also ask a question on the liberalisation of air routes. And I'd like to draw the presenter's attention to the fact that about 6 months ago we had Airlink actually in the tourism committee, that it is a transport issue. And Airlink gave us a summary of their history and their expansion, and it would appear, based on what they told us, that they are too successful, much like the Scorpions. And on the OR Tambo Kamea route to Nelspruit or White River, where it is closest, they now face a situation, as they testified to us, that in fact the government is subsidizing a rival airline to undercut them. And they cannot make money on that route anymore. That's what they testified to a parliamentary committee. We've asked questions, and we can't get to the bottom of it. I'd like you to tell me, is the Department of Transport or any other department subsidizing a rival airline on the OR Tambo Kamea route, which has the effect of undercutting a private company, being Airlink, such that that route is now unprofitable to them? Like a straight answer to a straight question.
Sorry, I forgot out one question. The chairperson, in her introductory remarks, made a lot of a meal of the issue of previously disadvantaged people who don't have access to flights and that. Are we saying that some deal needs to be struck for people to get flight tickets? There were some implications there. I'm not sure what exactly the meaning is, but is there an intention to help previously disadvantaged people to get access to actual flight tickets, or what is the arrangement? How are you going to help? Are we just talking about jobs in the industry, or are we talking about actual physical access to flights? If there is any arrangement like that is being hinted at, perhaps you could tell me if that is the case.
Okay. before we give the department an opportunity to respond, can we have a 15-minute comfort break? Those who want to take tea can take tea. Those who want to smoke can go out and smoke. And those who want to go and see Umfano Sato Inkomo, Bangaya Bombo.
Where are you?